Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God bless you. You can be seated. Have you found your life? Jesus said, if you found it, you're going to lose it. If you lose it, you're going to find it. If you have found your life, and in finding it, we have a tendency to become self-satisfied. When we're self-satisfied, we become selfish. When we are selfish, we become lukewarm. When we become lukewarm, we're filled with pride and self-will. And when we're filled with pride and self-will, a spirit of boastfulness enters into our hearts. When we reach that state, we glory in ourselves, our achievements, our accomplishments. Everything is centered around ourselves. We are sort of inverted. And if we're not careful, there will be an inbreeding. I remember a few years ago when they had asked me to serve as interim president of Texas Bible College. We had some opposition from officials who stepped in because all of our faculty were members with the exception of one who had graduated from the college. They said, the education agency frowns on this. We like for you to get someone outside of your college, somebody that has not graduated. They call it inbreeding. Said when you have inbreeding, you have a tendency to allow things to happen you would not ordinarily. You let people get by with things that ordinarily you would not let them get by with. And I just wonder, in inbreeding in Pentecost, we could produce a generation, a body of people that were only born into Pentecostal families and eventually raised in the Pentecostal church and make up the Pentecostal body. Consequently, there would be no thrill, no excitement, no special feeling about an outsider coming in who has never experienced the thrill of Pentecost, has never known what it was all about. What I am saying, if we find ourselves, we're going to lose ourselves. But if we find the Lord and His will and His plan for our lives, then we're going to save ourselves. And so we are experiencing great times of refreshing from the presence of God and great revival. And I had those in our congregation to stand a few nights ago who had received the Holy Ghost since the Six-Day War. 3/4 of our congregation stood to their feet. People that were Mormons, people that were Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, Jehovah's Witness, Catholicism, and then several just hollered out, "We were sinners." Amen. And that thrills me to know that we are not just inbreeding in Pentecost. We are reaching out. We are seeing great things happen. We are witnessing revival in our churches. I thank God for what is happening. But we find ourselves here Monday night, camp meeting, and we are waiting to hear what the Spirit would say to the churches. And we are all hungry for a move of God. We are hungry to see what the Lord will do for us and do through us in this hour. Therefore, we are here not just to hear, but we're here to receive, and we're here to be stirred, and we're here to be preached at, and we're here to repent, and we're here to humble our hearts, and we're here to turn ourselves wrong side out. We're here to weep again. I saw the host of ministers standing at the altar a little while ago as I looked into your faces, and I thought of the responsibility of the call and the burden of the work of God. The tears began to flow. I couldn't help it. I thought, oh God, wrapped up inside of the ministry in this tabernacle tonight is the challenge, is the possibility, is the thought that we can accomplish exactly what Brother Mangan said at the beginning of the service tonight. So timely, he had the message of the hour. He said, God Almighty is getting ready to reveal His church as He designed it before the foundation of the world. And I believe that with all of my heart. And then if He is getting ready to reveal it as He designed it, there's got to be something that will come over us. There's got to be something that will happen to us. Something that will stir us and shake us. Something that will get us out of our lethargy. Something that will help us to realize there is still a cross to bear. Something that will stir us to want to get revived all over again. We need to be stirred again. This is renewing time. We need to be renewed in a lot of areas. I pray that the Holy Ghost will help us to renew our love one for another. I was so happy to turn to my brethren on the platform, hug their necks and say, I love you. I could turn to Brother Cooley. Here's a man who is steadfast, steady, obedient, a man who's right on the beam. I could turn to him and say, Brother Cooley, I love you. This is a time to renew our love. I have a neighbor, a fine young man, who was called to the ministry, memorized chapter after chapter, several books of the Bible he could quote by memory. And just before he was ready to launch into his ministry, he was working one night on the job. While Thomas Dobbs was working, a steel bar flew through the air from the machine and hit him in the head. His brains began to spill out. The doctors gave no hope. He lingered between life and death for many days. Didn't look like he would live. The prayers of God's people were going up all over the city of Houston. Somehow the Lord allowed him to live. He has a bad limp. His left arm is completely useless, paralyzed. He cannot lift it up. But he can say a few words. We go to prayer meeting together every morning. And the minute his knees hit that floor, you would never think he had any impediment in his speech. He starts speaking the most beautiful language in that heavenly language, talking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And so it's a refreshing to me to be with Brother Thomas, to pray right beside him every morning. But when I let him in the back door of my house, 6:30 every morning, he looks at me and he says, "Pastor, I love you." Just so simply, so sweet, so beautifully. And I thought yesterday I wanted to tell the Lord that, just like Brother Thomas told it to me, "Jesus, I love you," and I meant it from my heart. Hallelujah. This is our time to renew our love. If we're going to have revival now, if we're going to have revival here, if we're going to have revival in us, we're going to have to renew our love. We've got to go to our brother and sister in Christ and say, "Brother, I love you," and mean it right from the depths of your heart. You see, that was the indictment against the church of Ephesus. They had everything in order. They had the programs. They had all the routine. They had everything, all the necessary ingredients to make up a New Testament church. But the Lord said, "I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love." You didn't lose it, you left it. Somebody said, if you ever have had love, you never lose it. You just leave it. You move off in another direction. And so perhaps we have left some of that love. I challenge you tonight, camp meeting, to renew that love. Get to loving one another like we really should. When we love him whom we have seen, then we can love the one whom we have not seen. For Jesus said it, and I believe it with all of my heart. God, help us to renew our love around here, our love for the ministry. If you have a pastor in this campground, you need to go to him during this meeting. You need to say, "Pastor, I love you. I thank you for leading me. I thank you for teaching me. I thank you for preaching to me. If I get to heaven, it's going to be because of you. And I love you, Pastor, because you're the one that's going to get me there." Renew your love and appreciation for your officials. Any superintendent that would stand in a pulpit and call you together as ministers and have you to humble your heart together, you need to take that superintendent by the hand and say, "Brother Superintendent, I love you. I thank you for your leadership. I thank you for showing us the right spirit and the right attitude." And oh, friend, that's another area of our lives that needs to be renewed. David said in Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me the right spirit." The right spirit, the right spirit, the right attitude. You know, it's not what you say to me that can hurt me. It's not what you do to me that can hurt me. It's how I let it affect my spirit. Is your spirit all crossed up here tonight? Say, "Brother preacher friend, I want to preach to you a little bit." You dare not stand behind that sacred desk to preach if your spirit is all crossed up. You better make sure you pray, "Oh God, give me the right spirit." He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about that human spirit, the Kilgore spirit. It has to be brought under subjection every so often. It has to be brought under the rulership of the Holy Spirit. You have to reach out and get hold of it and bring it back where it's supposed to be. Renew in me the love of God and let it flow through my spirit. Give me the right spirit. And certainly we need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Not by work of righteousness, Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he loved us and washed us with regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's not what you had 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It's what we have tonight. Tonight, if ever a time We needed to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's now. If God is getting ready to reveal that church that was in His mind before the foundation of the world, I'm going to tell you, Pentecost, we need to get renewed in the Holy Ghost. We need to get to the place we can talk in tongues. When was the last time you sang in the Spirit? When was the last time you talked in tongues until you felt like you were soaring from the earthly level to a glory level? I'll be flying to Nacogdoches in the morning to preach, help preach the funeral of an old prophet of God. Brother E.L. McLean passed away Sunday night, Brother Wayne McLean's father. And I journeyed to his home a couple of weeks ago. I said, Brother McLean, while I was in prayer in Louisville, Kentucky, praying for you, God spoke to my heart. He spoke to my heart to come and have you to pray for me. I didn't come to pray for you. I want you to pray for me. And I knelt by that bedside, and that old man, weak within, could hardly utter a sound that you could hear above a whisper. He laid his hands on my head, and he began to pray, and he began to talk in tongues, and he spoke in tongues for the longest. Brother Wayne told me the other night when he called and told me his father had died. He said he called all the children around the bed before he died. And he began to pray for all of us. And he talked in tongues the whole time. Then he said, I want the grandchildren in here. He got them around his bed. And he said, I'm going to pray for all of you until you all get to talking in tongues at one time. That old man lying flat on his back, so stricken without, but so strong within, began to talk in tongues, and the glory of God filled that room. First thing you know, grandsons that were backslid began to break forth speaking in that heavenly language. If ever a time we need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, it is now. It's the Holy Ghost that does the work. It's not me. I'm a nobody. And it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. I want to see the Holy Ghost renewed around this camp meeting. And I believe that it's going to happen. I believe God is preparing us. I agree with Brother Tenney. I believe that God has something special in this camp meeting. I don't know how you feel, but I'm ready. Whatever the Lord has, I can roll on this carpet if He wants me to. I'll run up and down these aisles if He wants me to. I'll lay hands on people and I'll pray for people, whatever He wants. But I want to hear what God has to say, and I want to get renewed in the Holy Ghost. Break forth speaking in that heavenly language. I know you've heard the story of my mother, but it comes to me right now. She was so stricken with cancer, and it was hard for me to accept it. My mother was a saint of God. I flew to California, sat up with her the last 5 nights that she lived, and I was questioning in my mind all the time. Here was a mother full of the Holy Ghost, a mother who lived in the Spirit. Never one time in all of my life did I see 1 ounce of carnality in my mother. She lived that way. She had her quiet, confident way of talking to the Lord and living for the Lord. And we couldn't understand it. She got to the place she couldn't talk to us. She couldn't even write on a tablet and give us a message. But on Sunday morning before she died, Tuesday afternoon, my dad said, let's pray for Mom one more time. We knelt around that little bed in that little trailer house, and we began to call upon the name of the Lord. And just a little while, we heard a sound, and we looked up, and Mother was sitting up in the bed. 88 pounds, those bony hands were clapping together, and she was talking in other tongues. You could hear her all over the place. She was communicating with her Lord, and she began to carry on a conversation. After a while, my dad said, Mom, tell us, what did you see? Who have you been talking to? And with clear, strong voice, she said, Oh, didn't you see the Lord Jesus and that beautiful stream of water? Didn't you see him standing on the other side? Didn't you hear him telling me to come over where he was? Didn't you see me walk over where he was? I am now in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And her voice was strong until the minute she breathed her last breath. I'm saying, Pentecost, if we're going to be that church that was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, we better get our love strengthened. We better get our spirits right. And we better get full of the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues all over again and shout the victory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, bless his name. You know what will happen around here? We all get renewed in the Holy Ghost. Midnight will come and go one of these nights. They'll start hauling people home like they used to. I can remember the days when they would fall out under the power of God. My dad was accused of hypnotizing people. And they said, watch that preacher. He has a little bottle up there on that pulpit. And when he touches people, they fall out. Don't go because he'll hypnotize you. And there were hundreds that didn't plan to go. But when they heard that, you couldn't have kept them away. They wanted to see what it was all about. But when that man anointed and laid his hands upon people, they began to fall out like flies under the power of God. And they had to be taken home. They had to be carried out of there. I'm getting ready. I'm getting hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm longing. I want to see something happen around here where the power of God will be so great and so strong and the atmosphere so charged that all of a sudden people will fall out under the power of God. They'll drink deep in the Holy Ghost. They'll feel the overflowing of that victory that God wants them to have. And I want to say to you preachers here tonight, you ought to be the example. You ought to be the one, the first partaker of the fruit. You ought to be the one worshiping in this camp meeting. You ought to be the one dancing in the spirit. You ought to be the one getting out of your rut. Some of you preachers are dying, dead. You're about ready to blow away. You need the breath of the Holy Ghost. Glory! Ooh, hallelujah! We need the breath of the Spirit to breathe upon us all over again so we can feel that washing of regeneration. We need to get washed out around here. We need the Spirit to take over and wash us and clean us and straighten us out and get us going in the right direction. Praise God. Thank you for standing, Brother Simeon Young. Brother Simeon Young, a good friend of mine, pastors, Terre Haute, Indiana. I preached for him about a month ago. We had a great time. He has a great church, beautiful building. They're on their way for revival. I felt it that night, and I told that church that night. Brother Young didn't know it. The next morning, I caught a plane to fly back to St. Louis. And never happened to me in all my years of flying. And so all of a sudden, as we were approaching a landing field in Illinois, the pilot said, don't be alarmed. When you look out the window and you see all the fire trucks, he said, there's an indication that something's wrong with our landing gear. And we don't know if one of the wheels is down or up. And we don't know if we land on it, whether it's going to hold or not. But he said, I would admonish you right now to get that little card in that seat pocket in front of you and go over all the instructions. Well, I was sitting there reading my Bible. I have my daily Bible reading. young lady across the aisle was reading a book about Hawaii. I turned to her, and her face was white as a sheet. And I said, well, you know, young lady, I often wondered what it would feel like when you're approaching something like this. And I said, you know, I feel good. Here I'm reading about going to heaven. You're reading about going to Hawaii. She said, well, I'd rather go to Hawaii right now. Amen. And I'm sure she meant it. Praise God. But I'll tell you, we better live so we're ready to go to heaven at any moment. Praise God. How many of you folks are getting ready to go? Glory. That's why we're here. This is not just a meeting. This is not just a get-together. This is not just a fellowship. We're here to get tuned up. We're here for somebody to preach to us. We're here for somebody to yank us out of our seats. We're here for somebody to take us by the hand and say, get up from there. It's time for you to make a move. It's time for you to be stirred. It's time for you to shake yourself. It's time for you to get out of your lethargy. Get out of your rut. Pray through till you feel the victory all over again. Thank God. I want you to get renewed in the Holy Ghost around here. I believe it's going to happen. Praise God. Before you get renewed in the Holy Ghost, you might have to get your mind renewed. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. One rendition of that says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed. Don't let the world squeeze you in. Don't let it make you look like everybody else. Don't let it make you act like everybody else. Be different in this world. Love the country that you live in and pray for our leaders. I appreciated our congressman here tonight. I believe that he would say that anywhere. I don't believe he'd say that just to a Pentecostal meeting. You can tell when something's coming from a man's heart, a part of him. And I want you to know, Congressman, there is no people on earth that prays for you and our leaders like Pentecostal people do. We remember that. We go to the Lord every day in prayer for our leaders. I'm telling you here and now, that our minds need to be renewed. This world wants to squeeze you. I felt the pressure of it. That's why I made a journey to that old prophet of God. I need to feel the touch of His hand again. Amen. Say, after all these years, you still need that. You better believe it. I'd crawl on my hands and knees to get it all over again. Because the pressures of this world and the pressure of what's going on out in this religious world, if you're not careful, you're going to look at them and you're going to say, why should I bear the cross that I bear? They're not having to pay much of a price. You can choose a cross that you can hide in your pocket if you want to. There are a lot of people wear them around their necks. The only time they know they've got it is just when they feel it once in a while. They'll wear that cross to the dance hall. They'll wear that cross to the picture show. They'll wear that cross out in the world. And many stand at bars and drink their cocktails wearing a little cross. And they think that's going to get them to heaven. They've got another thing coming. If you're not careful, the devil will tell you to hide your cross. Put it in your pocket. Don't let the world see it. You don't have to take such a bold stand. This is the hour when Pentecostals should shine the brightest, because the light of the glory of God shines in our hearts. This is the hour that the Lord wants you to dare to be different, but have the right spirit and attitude about it. Amen. And then there are those that have a convenient cross. They serve the Lord out of necessity or out of convenience. They go to church if it's convenient. They pay their tithes if it's convenient. They'll pay a price if it's convenient. But don't ask me to do a whole lot. But Jesus comes along and He says, take up your cross and follow Me. Take up your cross. And if you don't do it, you cannot be My disciple. What kind of a cross? What kind of a cross did He carry? Do you think He enjoyed Gethsemane? Do you think it was a little pity-pat prayer meeting? I believe He clawed the ground. My Bible says He fell on the ground. My Savior did that. Clawed the ground. Let this cup pass from Me if it be possible. Sin is in that cup. I've got to be a sin offering. But I do not know sin. Royal blood flows through my veins. Blood that came from heaven. No wonder the sun blinked its eyes and went out when He died at Calvary. Because the sun had never seen royal blood drop to the ground before. No wonder the earth went into convulsions and rocks were rent. It had never felt the drops of divine blood before. And when it hit the ground, there was darkness and the rocks were rent. Don't tell me it was an easy route. He paid a price. If you're going to do the will of God, you've got to be willing to pay a price too. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let your mind deceive you. The communists have a three-point program that they try to win their converts. First of all, it's the softening process. They pour their ideologies into that mind and try to tell you where you're wrong and they're right. And if you resist, then they use persecution, torture, torment. 22 hours a day, they'll go through it trying to break your will. Finally, when they break that will down, they use the indoctrination process and they'll spend hour after hour, people after people, trying to change you and affect your mind so that when you're turned loose, all you'll think about is communism. And then the third step is the reversal, where you once loved things, you don't love it anymore. You go a complete different direction. The devil works on your mind. He will work through a softening process. He'll work through an indoctrination program to try to get you to change your mind about a lot of things that have been spiritual and a lot of things that have been holy and a lot of things that have been pure. The devil is working on your mind tonight. I'll tell you, if ever a time we renewed our minds in the Word of God and what is right and wrong, it is now. There are too many people that are walking a tightrope. You're walking a borderline. You don't know what's right or what's wrong anymore. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's what James said. There comes a time we have to get off the fence. There comes a time we can't straddle the line any longer. We just have to make up our mind. This is it. Live, die, seek, or swim. I'm going to launch out into the deep. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go for God. It's not how little I can do and get by, but it's how far I can go with Him. I want Him. I love Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Make up your mind. Get your minds renewed. So refreshing to come to camp meeting. What an opportunity we have to just say, Lord, my mind is open. My mind is open. If you don't hear what the Spirit says, what the Word of God has to say, humanistic ideals will get you after a while. Humanism is making inroads across this country. And I love America. I've sat in China in a church and wept because there were people there that wanted to pray and couldn't pray. I wept shocked when I heard one woman scream out on the lower floor, and I watched strong men come and literally pick her up and carry her out of there. I love America. I like the freedom that I feel. There are countries that cannot enjoy this. But I want to tell you, humanism has a way of brainwashing you. And it's in the education system. Amen. And we're putting up a fight. When I was a boy, they had prayer in school. The teachers called prayer. The teacher prayed. We had Bible reading. We don't have that any longer. We have a great nation, but we need prayer in our schools. They won't let the Ten Commandments hang on the walls even. Just a silent Ten Commandments. I love my nation, but we need to lift up a banner. We need to pray. We need to ask God to effect a change. And because prayer and Bible and Ten Commandments were taken out of the classrooms, humanism came in full force. In the 1940s, there were five things that the school teacher had to contend with, as compared to 17 things in the 1980s. In the 1980s, they have to worry about murder in the classroom. They have to worry about rape, assault, robbery, armed weapons. They have to worry about all of these things, locked doors in classrooms. 1940s, they had to worry about kids putting trash in waste baskets, chewing gum in the classroom, and breaking into the lunch line. I know what I'm talking about. I've been around here a few years. Don't tell me that our country is getting greater and greater when we have to do those things. We need to make up our minds. We're going to lift a voice. Preachers, we've got to lift a voice. Whose fault is it? It's our fault. It's our fault. We need to get on our tiptoes in our pulpits, and we need to preach like we've never preached before. We need to lift our voices like a trumpet. We need to sound the warnings. Don't blame the government officials. They can only do so much. We've got to do our part. Humanism is stripping us, taking away a lot of values that we've had for so many years in the homes. And since humanism has come in, the divorce rate is just about 50-50 now. One marriage and then a divorce. God help us. That's why we need to get our minds renewed, so we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want your mind renewed around here? I do. Preach to me, preachers. Tell it like it is. Tell me what I need to do. You can get me to an altar. You won't have any trouble. I'm ready to go at any time. I'm ready. But I read this evening the story of Israel when they were in Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down. There were three statements that literally leaped from the pages to my heart. We sat, we remembered, we wept, we remembered. We sat, we wept, we remembered. Amen. I'm not weeping over camp meeting tonight. But I'm going to tell you, we need to get some joy renewed in our hearts like never before. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion. We remember what it used to be like. Amen. We remember those narrow streets, those walls of Jerusalem. I've been at the Wailing Wall. This was a thrill to me the first time I went there. I heard the sound of the shofar. That priest that blowed that horn. I rushed out of my room. I got a taxi. I got over there in a hurry. And I saw them gather in by the hundreds, pressed down against that wailing wall for over an hour, swaying, crying, praying. Amen. I remember 1967 when they made a break to get to that wall. I was preaching our youth camp in Texas. I got me a clipboard. I can't tell you how I felt when the news commentator let us hear the sound of the chauffeur and the first rush to the wailing wall after all those years. You think about the years that went by since they'd been able to stand there and pray. Nearly 2,000 years. And here in our generation, we saw it come to pass. I got my clipboard and I went downtown and I stopped everybody that I could on the streets. And I said, what do you think of what's happening in the Middle East in the light of what's happened in this Six-Day War and Jerusalem being united and the Jews going back to the Wailing Wall? What do you suppose is going to happen? Do you think that that means the Messiah is getting ready to come? Coming of Christ? I shocked the daylights out of a lot of people. They hadn't thought about it. I wanted to hear what a Jew had to say. I went to the dollar store. Mr. Yowler, what do you think in the light of what's happened in Jerusalem? The wailing wall, the praying of the priest there again. He said, oh, we believe now the Messiah will come. I said, Mr. Yowler, you're 2,000 years too late. The Messiah's already come. To each other, we're going to pray hard that the next 10 years of our ministry, if God delays His coming, we're going to wring ourselves out. We're going to pour ourselves out. We're going to do more than we've ever done before. We're going to pray more. We're going to preach harder. I preached 3 times yesterday. I was so tired when I got in bed last night. I wondered if I was going to make it tonight. But I feel like wringing myself out for you. I feel like wringing myself, turning myself upside down, inside out. I want to see a move of God in my generation. I want the joy of the Lord to abound in the hearts of God's people. Can you only weep when you remember? We need to rejoice because we're having it now. Sin will keep you from having it now. Adversity will strip you if you're not careful. It didn't the early church. Adversity was fuel that was thrown on the fire that caused revival to break out everywhere. Did you hear me? Don't let adversity rob you of the blessing and the victory and the song. Psalms 85:6, revive thy works in the midst of the years that your people may rejoice in thee. God wants us to rejoice in this campaign. We don't need to sit down and weep and remember. We need to be on our tiptoes. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it again. We're the people on whom the ends of the world has come. We're the people God is dependent on in this hour. There is nobody loves this truth like Pentecostal people do. We have our singing and our rejoicing, and we have a great time of worship. And I praise God for every bit of it. But we're built on the Word of God. We're founded on the apostles' doctrine. Jesus Christ Himself is the chief cornerstone. The building is fitly framed together, and it's growing to a holy habitation of the Lord. Praise God! Hallelujah! Take your hearts off the willows, they said. Oh, daughters of Jerusalem, play your beautiful songs and sing for us.
They said, how can we sing the song of Zion in a strange land? That's where we ought to be singing it. Amen. In a strange land, that's where we ought to be singing our song. This is the hour we need to sing like never before. Give it everything we've got. Give it overtime. Praise God. The Lord doesn't want you to be satisfied with your little 100 or 150 or 50. You can do better. I can do better. Hallelujah. I want to try to stir you a little bit tonight to realize that you have the power and God has given you the message and He promised to stand by His Word and we can see a move of God in this hour like we've never seen. Don't be satisfied, preacher. When you become satisfied, then you become complacent. You get in a lukewarm condition. And first thing you know, you're filled with pride and boastfulness and all of that. We want to hear what the Lord would say to us in this hour. And let's move forward as a mighty army. Do the will of God. Work for God. Sing the victory. Hallelujah. Oh, my, my. Hallelujah. I've been stirred lately over the scripture, 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. When we stand before God and our works are burned up, if we built with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to go up in smoke. But if we build with gold and silver and precious stones, it's going to last. It's going to stand. I'd like for every young preacher in this building under 35, 35 and under, stand to your feet right now. I want to challenge you in the closing time of this message. Don't build with wood and hay and stubble. Don't build with Cadillacs and Continentals. Don't build with fine homes and ranches. Don't build with pride and with praises of men. That's all going to go up in smoke. You see somebody else driving a Cadillac, you think, I've got to have that. That's my goal. That might be a nightmare. It might be the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Be satisfied with what you have. God will make it better after a while. My wife and I first married. I was so happy to be involved in the work of God. We had our little church in Paris, Texas. We would leave early in the morning to get there. And then we'd usually have enough money to stay in a motel for two or maybe three nights. We stayed in the Avalon to begin with. It was $3 a night. And then we finally got to where we could go to the wishing well. That was $5 a night. When you got to the wishing well, you had really come up in this world. Brother Dees and Brother Pugh was driving those great big old Packards, about a half a mile long, more or less. I'd look at those big old Packards, and I was driving my little old Ford, and I think, oh, what a dream. If I could just drive a Packard. That was really a nightmare to want to drive one of those things. I kept saying, one of these days I'm going to move to the wishing well. One of these days I'm going to drive a Cadillac. I want to tell you, those things are wood and hay and stubble. Wanting a pat on the back and the praise of men, that's wood and hay and stubble. Filled with gold and silver and precious stones. Something that will last. Those who win souls to the Lord, they will shine as stars forever and ever. Those are precious jewels, the Lord said. These are mine when I make up my jewels. Bring in the jewels. Bill with the jewels. Not reputation, not a big name. Oh, if I can just hold an office, that's wood and hay and stubble if it's just an office. Did you hear me? Hear me, young preacher. I'm telling you, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday. You better look back and see some gold that you built with. Some silver. Some precious stones. Hallelujah. When Brother Tree stepped up here tonight, I admire this young man. The first revival he preached when he got married was for me in Paris, Texas. We didn't get enough money in that revival for any of us to go out and get a hamburger. He preached and preached and preached. And to see a young man like that pull himself up, can read the Greek text better than I can read the English text. You have to say, thank God there's somebody that has applied themselves. Gold and silver and precious stones. Amen. Something that will last. In the millennium, God's going to use men who have trained themselves. My dad wore out 8 Bibles, and that's all he left 8 children. That's all he left me. I have 1 necktie that my dad wore, and I have an old worn-out Bible. But I wouldn't take anything in the world for that old worn-out Bible. And I could play and bump against his chair while he was reading, and it never affected him. He was so engrossed in the Word of God. And he used to tell me, son, read the Word. God will use you during the millennium if you'll study the Word. Amen. He built with gold and silver. When he died, he didn't have any money. I paid for his cemetery lot. My mother died in a little old trailer house. They owed more money on it than it was worth. Had no money. Never owned any furniture. Never knew what the nice things were of life. When Mother got sick for 3 months, Dad said, I can't go preach. My wife has stood so faithfully by me. I'm going to stay right with her. Amen. Finally, she drew that last breath. He walked away from that little trailer house. Owed more money on it than it was worth. But he built with gold and silver and precious stones. I want you to get your values in the right place. Get your priorities right. Because when you stand before God, it's not going to be the name brand suit. It's not going to be the car you drive. It's not going to be the ranch you own. It's not going to be the cattle you have out there. It's not going to be any of those things. You'd better build with something that won't go up in smoke. Those are wood and hay and stubble. Get a hold of something that has eternal values. I appeal to you tonight, young men, make up your mind. You're going to turn yourself wrong side out for this world. It needs you to love it. It needs you to pray for it. It needs you to preach to it. It needs you to be an example. It needs to see you living what you preach and loving what you preach and eating what you preach and sleeping what you preach. Don't be bought off by anything that's so cheap that's going to burn up like wood and hay and stubble. Amen. The cross can't be burned up. The altar bench can't be burned up. I have an old altar bench in front of my pulpit. Brother Treese, Brother Tenney, you'll remember that old altar bench. My dad built it. I was called to Paris to preach anniversary last year, and they presented it to me. I looked at it the other day when I was praying there, and it all came back to me. I knelt at that old altar bench. Every day, the first 7 years of my ministry, every day that I was in that town, I knelt at that altar. I shed a puddle of tears. I humbled my heart. If I ever amount to anything, it's going to be kneeling, because I knelt at that old wooden altar every day for 7 years. 7 years, here I am again, Lord. I need you. Oh, God. That old altar bench can't be burned. It's built out of wood. But that's gold and silver, precious. Oh, God, I challenge you to open your heart. Give your very best. Don't get caught up with the spirit of this world. Don't get caught up in any bickering, bitterness, jealousy, envy, or strife. Don't get caught up in any of those things. Keep your mind on the goal, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Oh, that I may know Him. You're the only one that counts, Lord. Nothing in this world matters but You. It's not my clothes. It's not my house. It's not my car. It's not my reputation. It's not what people think I am. It's what You think I am, Lord. Oh, it's for You, and what I'm doing is for You. It's for Your cause. It's not for me. And so, Lord, here I am again. I'm kneeling at Your altar again, and I'm humbling my heart again, and I'm praying again. It's me, Lord. For behold, I hear a familiar sound. I have heard that sound for many days in prayer. I have heard that sound because it is the sound of a burdened heart. The sound of a heart that is reaching out to me. And yea, I would say unto thee even this hour, let your heart reach out for your Maker. Let your heart search for the living God. Let your soul thirst for righteousness. Open your heart in these meetings and allow the Lord your God to visit you one more time with a special visitation of my spirit. And be prepared for what I am going to do for you. For I may change your direction, and I may change your ministry, and I may change your life. You will not be the same if you will allow my spirit to work in your life, saith the Lord. And you will not be the same if you will humble your heart before me and allow me to do that work of righteousness that you have needed for so long. Yea, even right now, if you will stand as a willing body and say, I am willing, Lord, whatever, wherever, if you're willing to say it and mean it, the Lord your God will visit you, and you will look back.